Hello and welcome to the Speaking for Him podcast. My name is Andrew Gamason and it is my privilege to be here with you again today. So thankful that you've taken some time to spend with Speaking for Him, and I truly hope that it will be encouraging as you traverse on the journey of the Christian life. And how appropriate, given the fact that the theme of the Speaking for Him podcast is the journey of the Christian life and traversing it together, that I get to traverse this podcast episode with my co-host, James Wisniewski. Welcome, James.
Thank you once again, Andrew. Can't say that one enough.
All right. Well, I'm so grateful that you're here, James. And today we are highlighting the 2019 computer-animated version of The Pilgrim's Progress, the motion picture. And I have some interesting thoughts about this movie, and I'm sure James does too, but let's start out by having our quote of the day.
At the top of the hill stood a cross, and a little below, at the bottom, was a stone tomb. In my dream, just as Christian came up to the cross, his burden loosened from his shoulders and fell off his back. It tumbled and continued to do so down the hill until it came to the mouth of the tomb, where it fell inside and was seen no more. The Pilgrim's Progress.
Okay, so this, James, is a brief quote from the book The Pilgrim's Progress, and I thought it was really appropriate because, really, the crux of The Pilgrim's Progress is him coming to the cross and being relieved of his burden so that he can continue on his journey. And if you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, you know what it's like to be relieved of the burden of your sin and then be released to serve him faithfully, and given the power to do things that you never thought you were capable of. And I really think that the story of The Pilgrim's Progress covers this in great detail. If you're interested in hearing the entirety of the book of The Pilgrim's Progress, you can go back into my archives and find the Pilgrim's Progress series that we did, where we did a multi-voice reading of the entire book. But as I said, today we're focused on the 2019 motion picture, and I'm excited to dive into this discussion with James. But before we do that, I want to share with you the trailer for this movie, The Pilgrim's Progress 2019.
We have to get out, Christiana. It says so in this, and I believe it.
You're asking me and the children to follow you beyond the borders.
Keep that light in your eye and go straight towards it. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep
on the straight path.
Your destination. What will become of those you love? Perhaps you'll save yourself, but what of them?
This journey for the king.
Nothing will I fear.
You will go no further.
You're the light unto my path.
So, James, as we begin today, I just want to give you the opportunity to share a little bit of the story of why this film has significance for you?
Yeah, Andrew. The significance of this story is actually that I watched this movie actually before I came to the Lord. I have a very dear brother and a wonderful best friend of mine. He invited me over to his house to watch this movie. And he's actually the same friend I mentioned before in my testimony that told me about his job that he works at, which is a belting factory, which I still work at to this day. And this friend of mine, actually, when everything shut down because of COVID, my old friends were, they had some friends they were making at the school they were at, and everything shut down because of COVID. And what happened is that this friend, around the same time too, as I mentioned my testimony on this podcast, for 2 years I was wanting to become homeless because I read the Bible out of context thinking I had to be to please God. And honestly, I was struggling with pornography and catfishing people out of pleasure. And my friend noticed my status, one of their friends they had in the group chat. And it said something about God, and I had a cross. So he broke the ice, obviously asking me, because it's a gaming chat, if I wanted to play a video game with him. He was like, you know, if I may ask, what are the five souls of Christianity? And then as time went along, he actually invited me to come to his church, which I can say now I'm a member at, and we go to church together. And what eventually happened is that he invited me over to his house to watch the Pilgrim's Progress movie. And obviously, I pushed it away for a little bit, not because of anything in particular. I just forgot to message him back. But one day, I was just like, oh, yeah, I want to come over. So I went over about a month later after him asking me over and over. And went over to his house. He had some snacks ready and some drinks, and we watched it. And honestly, at the time, I didn't realize what he was trying to show me. I didn't really understand it all too much. But finally, when I came to the Lord, I finally understood what my friend was trying to do and show me. And honestly, it parallels a lot. And when I say a lot, it parallels a lot to the Christian journey. And now I can't stress enough how amazing of a friend he's been, and really just really redefined our friendship after basically resurrected from this point, because it kind of died for a couple of months. It resurrected, and now, like I said, we work together. We go to church together. We do a lot of things together. Like today, I'm going to go get coffee with him because we want to have weekly accountability meetings. And honestly, it's incredible too, because I remember he gave me the book and he's just like, yeah, I want you to read this. And when I finally got saved, I was like, oh man, I want to give this back to you. And he's like, no, no, no. You keep it for yourself. And I want you to have it because I have plenty more. And honestly, to this day, it's no mistake. It's God's providence that we're best friends right now. And he's really very much like a brother to me, very much like an older brother to me, as well as you are, Andrew, and many others in my life.
Well, thank you for sharing that, James. The Pilgrim's Progress has always had a special place in my life as well. I don't know how old I was when I discovered it. I do know that my dad read it to us when we were younger. I was very blessed with two parents that read a lot and read to us regularly when we were younger, and so fostered in us a love for reading. So The Pilgrim's Progress is a book that I've read several times, and as I said, I got the opportunity to produce that dramatic reading, which was so fun and gave renewed meaning to the lockdowns and COVID, which were very frustrating otherwise. But John Bunyan really gives you a lot to ponder in his allegory. So I wonder, James, if you could just start out by giving people a synopsis of the film that we're about to talk about.
So, long story short, Christian one day wakes up with an unbearable burden on his back after reading a book, devastated with the thought that in the town he's in called the City of Destruction, it's going to be destroyed. And when he reads the book, the more the burden is heavy, and he fears that he'll sink lower than the grave itself. And everyone around him thinks he's insane for doing so. Even his own wife comes to him making a decision to be with his wife and staying there and honestly be destroyed or move away and flee from the coming destruction. And eventually he flees and he finds a man by the name of Evangelist who tells him to follow the gate and continue onward. And once you reach it, knock as hard as you can as your life depends on it. And as he goes about his journey, you see the Christian growing and being sanctified throughout the life. And honestly, it parallels to the Christian walk that we are sanctified. And once we die and reach the end, the goal, we are glorified because of Christ and only because of Christ.
Thank you for sharing that. So now we're going to dig into some specific things with the movie itself. First of all, I want to talk about some things that I really liked about the film. And the first thing is, I think that they were very faithful to the original source material. They didn't try to do anything super different. There is one aspect of it that I will get into when we're discussing negatives of the film, but for the most part, I thought it was pretty faithful to the source material, so that's always exciting, especially when the source material is so important. You know, it's kind of interesting whenever they make a movie out of a book and you're wondering how faithful they're going to be, and a lot of times they change some really weird things and make it different as a result. But with The Pilgrim's Progress, you really have to be faithful to it in order to make it worth it. I thought they did well. I thought that the parts were well acted, and I found it kind of interesting that one of the Amazon reviews I read said that it had a Lord of the Rings vibe to it, which is especially interesting when you realize that John Rhys-Davies, who was in The Lord of the Rings, is Evangelist in this production. So that is interesting. David Thorpe plays Christian Pilgrim. And Kristen Getty of the Gettys, famous Christian singers from across the pond, she played the interpreter. And then we had a man named Tristan Bienet as Pliable. And Justin Butcher played Hopeful, among other people in the cast. So I thought overall it was very well acted, very well constructed from the story standpoint. All the story points are there. One of the things that's really neat about Pilgrim's Progress and unique is that it's kind of written in play form, and that made it really easy to adapt to a voice drama for me and my theater friends, but it also makes it very adaptable to other forms of entertainment, be it stage plays or theatrical movies. So I thought it was very well done. Do you have any thoughts about that, James?
I agree with you. I really think it was helpful to watch because I'm not the biggest reader. It's really hard for me to pick up a book to read, but I've read some of The Pilgrim's Progress. I read a little bit of it with my parents, and I'm hoping to finish it one of these days with them, or if not with them, by myself. But by what I've seen this movie, like I said, obviously first before I read the book, but honestly, it really does kind of like, as after I watched it, after getting saved, it really does help make sense of the Christian journey very well. And honestly, I see it applied in my life every day. And honestly, kind of a visual guy. And as I said, I don't really read that much except for really the Bible, disciplining myself. It really kind of helps for those who are more a visual type of person. And honestly, all audiences, as you previously mentioned.
Well, and that's all the more reason for it to be accurate in its portrayal. Because if you're going to have people not read the book, but instead watch the movie, then you want it to be an accurate portrayal of the things that actually occurred in the book. So I think that is a good thing to know that that is the case. Now we get into some of my issues with this production. And I know that they want to make it dramatic, and I know that they want to make it something that people will be interested in, that will hold their attention. The thing that I didn't necessarily think it needed was this whole subplot of this supervisor who was Apollyon having this henchman who is trying to derail Christian in various ways. Now, did it necessarily take a whole lot away from the story? Not necessarily. But John Bunyan didn't have that aspect in there. Of course, Apollyon is a character, but we didn't have the subplot and backstory about Apollyon and his efforts for the master, who is the devil, to dissuade Christian and Faithful. So I didn't necessarily think it was necessary. So as a purist, I didn't really like that aspect of it. But again, that's a pretty small thing on the grand scheme of this film. And I think that your family is really going to enjoy watching it together. And there are some intense moments, but nothing that you can't navigate as a family. I don't know if there was any age recommendations on this film. It's not rated, because I don't think it had a theatrical release. But I think that I would probably rate it PG, and I think that most ages could benefit from it. And there are some kind of scary sequences, particularly when Christian is battling Apollyon, that you could fast forward through, or at the very least explain to your children as you watch it, to kind of mitigate the harshness of it. But it really does a good job of showing the battle that we are in. I think that we are people of extremes as Christians. So on one hand, we can get too hung up on what the devil does and not lean enough into the power that Jesus gives us. But then there's also the part of us that leans too much into it. So we can either lean too much into what the devil has done and not enough into Jesus, or not take the devil seriously enough. Both of those things can be something that we as Christians are guilty of, because again, we are people of extremes who kind of live on a pendulum, and we need to make sure that we are having a balance in all things. And when it comes to spiritual warfare, we need to know that we are in a war, but also that because of Jesus, we've won the war. Do you have any additional thoughts on that, James?
I think you hit the bullseye, Andrew. I don't think there's anything more that needs to be said of that.
All right. Well, as we move on, one of the things that I like to ask when I am reviewing a movie is, what is the biggest lesson that you think this film teaches you? So I will let you begin with that, James. What do you think is the biggest lesson that we can learn from The Pilgrim's Progress?
One of the things I would say that's really a major takeaway, and honestly, just rewatching it and honestly remembering the scenes in my mind, this is a wonderful reminder, and I think for anybody. But for a while, when I first got saved, I didn't fully understand that Jesus paid it all. And understanding, like, honestly, I can quote the quote from of the day a little bit here. It says that literally that the burden Christian had, it fell inside of that tomb, and it was seen no more. That, and I've said this before, but really, just honestly, the fact that it's Christ, and like you said, the victory is already won. It's honestly that joy and hope we have in Christ, the advocate we have with the Father, the righteousness of Christ credited to his or her account of those who believe and trust in Christ. Honestly, that is the best. Honestly, that's one of the biggest takeaways, if not one of them. That is the biggest takeaway for me personally of this movie. Like Pilgrim says in the movie, I am free. He's not partially covered. No, he is free. Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. And it's just, honestly, the beauty of that scene, seeing that go into the tomb, it actually did kind of make me cry a little bit, because it's just beautiful. And the fact that God, and honestly, we just finished Easter, just the fact that God himself sent himself to save us from himself, so that we can come to know him and know our creator personally. How amazing is that? We can know the creator that made all. And it absolutely mind boggles me. We can have peace with our maker. Like, we're so small, yet he still came down to be like one of us and died for us while we were still his enemies. And we only love him because he first loved us. And what amazing grace is.
I think that is so good, and it's simple, but it's so profound to think that we have the empty tomb to look in and see that as Jesus raised from the dead, so are we raised in him. We have gone from death to life when we trusted Jesus Christ, and we do have a freedom that others do not understand. I was particularly moved when they had the scenes of them going through Vanity Fair and just not wanting to be a part of what was going on in Vanity Fair, and then the misunderstanding that so many in Vanity Fair had of why they didn't want to participate and why they wanted to set their eyes on the straight gate and not be distracted by what was around them, and then how it cost them very dearly. They were beaten and ridiculed, and they didn't retaliate. They had a godly attitude about it, and then one of them died. Faithful died, and then Hopeful came out of Vanity Fair and joined Christian for the remainder of his journey. And it just reminds me of when people don't understand us, or when they ridicule us, particularly on Facebook, because I have to be honest with you and say that I haven't really had a lot of experience with people in my personal life ridiculing me for my faith, because I grew up in a Christian home and I always had that Christian support from various friends. But definitely on social media, I've taken a lot of heat at different times for my faith, and I know that's nothing in comparison with the people that have actually died a martyr's death for the faith, but it's just a little taste of what it means to follow hard after Christ. And I think about some of these people sometimes that ridicule Christians, and I'm like, why in the world would you ridicule people who are kind, who try to help people, who want to show people the truth? But it just shows you how the devil blinds the hearts of people around us and makes people think that Christians believe things that aren't true, or that Christians are mean-spirited and want to hurt people, which is not true in and of itself. And so I really am challenged every time I hear this story of Pilgrim's Progress to keep on keeping on. And another aspect that I would bring up is just the amount of different characters there are. You don't see a lot of them in the movie because of time's sake, but there's so many characters in the book that pretend to be believers, that try to say they're on the same journey as Christian and his companions, when in reality they're not. You know, there's a couple people that try to climb over the wall and skip going the long way, skip going the narrow way. And we have a lot of that in real life today, where people want to be Christians without doing what God calls Christians to do. And so it's such an important call to us to show forth a genuine and legitimate faith. All right, well, I hope that you have been benefited by this review. And as I said, I hope you'll check out this movie, and that hearing this review will guide you in how to share it with your family and friends. And it's available on Amazon Prime Video, among a couple of other places, but that is where I watched it. And so if you have Amazon Prime, make sure that you take advantage of watching it there. So I'm just going to give you my rating for this film. I'm going to give it a solid 4 out of 5. Now, as I said, there was a little bit of a side storyline that I did not think was necessary to telling the story of Pilgrim's Progress, but overall a very solid movie, and I hope that people enjoy it and it challenges them to read the book, because as I said, the book has a lot of rich character development and different things that the movie just did not have time for. James, do you have any final thoughts about the movie Pilgrim's Progress?
I would also agree with you, Andrew. I would give it a 4 out of 5 as well. I would also like to try to read a little bit more of the book and maybe rewatch the movie and see if it really adds up. And honestly, understanding both aspects would, I think, would be very beneficial. So that's why I will give a 4 out of 5. And honestly, I'd probably still say the same even when I do finish reading the book.
Like I said, it's a very well done movie. Some people have said that the animation could be better, but I think that the focus of this project was the message and not the animation itself. Because if there had been a much better animation process, but a much shallower telling of the story, then it wouldn't have been worth it. So I really do think they ultimately did a great job on it, and I hope that people will watch it, because it's so important for people to go to theaters to support good movies or to watch good movies, especially when they're on secular streamers, because it shows these companies that we want to see these movies, that we are giving these movies attention. And so I really hope that people will take the opportunity, well, it is available, to watch this exciting film. And I really hope, too, that it kind of shows that the Christian journey can be exciting. You know, Christian had a lot of ups and downs. He had a few times when he thought that he could go his own way, and he found out the hard way that following God's way is the best, even if it seems difficult. The two things that stick in my mind are Bypass Meadow, when they ended up under the keep of Giant Despair, and then the time when he tried to climb the hill of legality. Galatians tells us that we should not be bewitched by people who tell us that we are under the law, when in fact we are under grace. But it also reminds us that being under grace means that we should not do whatever we want to, but use grace as the power to do what we ought to do, and to by love serve one another. With that being said, I hope you have a wonderful week, and keep serving the best of masters.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Your host has been Andrew Gamson, founder of Speaking for Him. For more information on today's show and to leave us comments and voicemails, visit speakingforhim.blogspot.com. You can find Andrew's ministry at speakingforhim.com. That's speaking, the number 4, H-I-M. You can also interact with us at facebook.com/speakingforhim and on Twitter at speakingforhim. And when you look for us on iTunes and Stitcher, let us know what you think of the podcast by leaving a rating and review.